Well, tonight in Hebrews chapter 11, we want to read, we'll be looking at Abraham as a winner and then Lot as a loser. But here in Hebrews 11 and there in verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." You notice that Abraham's concern did not end with just a season or a certain year, but he was looking into eternity and making his thoughts based on what he could see there. We all have things we hope for, things we long to see come to pass. And in verse 1 of Hebrews 11, it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So the point is to establish that the things that we long for and hope for are what true faith in God would be about, and that we're following God in our interest. Verse 2 tells us that because of that, the elders obtained a good report. So with stories we have in the Bible, that you can see a lot of God-given victory and God-given help, it all came to pass due to the fact of proving God's will to be what was right for them. In Genesis chapter 24, we'll be making reference back in Genesis from time to time, but in the 24th chapter of Genesis, as you think about Abraham, it tells us in verse 1, "Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." That's the point we want to emphasize. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. It was by those, that his life's choices are what allowed, and I think the word allowed is a proper word. His life's choices are what allowed for God to do that. You know, God wants to bless his people. God wants our lives to have real value to them now and in eternity. So when it came to the determination of how Abraham would live and face the future, back in the 11th chapter of Hebrews again in verse 8, God tells us that his adopted principle to live by was obedience. It says that when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. That was chosen. That's what he wanted to live by. He determined he was going to live his life based on what God would specify for him and what God would lead him to do. That was his own choice. And of course, God knew that. That's something to keep in mind. God knows what's going on inside us. He knows what we really want. And we might present ourselves one way outwardly, but God looks on what really is, on the interior part of us. Now, that was totally different than Lot. And I want to go back to the 13th chapter of Genesis. And Lot was more carnal-minded, more for himself and more for the things of the world. And he really didn't get into the things of God that seriously. So here in Genesis 13:7, it says, "There was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land." So they had a lot. They had a lot of cattle. They had people that were over those cattle. But in the course of events, there arose some disagreements. And I'm sure it would be over pasture. It would be over location, over water, and things of that nature. So the strife. Well, we live in an imperfect world. And so whether you're at the bottom or whether you're at the top, There's always many things that have to be worked through. And you have to work through them with genuine concern and applied wisdom. You can't just stumble through them. You can't let your passion take over. But you have to be wise. So we find that Abram said unto Lot in the 8th verse, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Let there be no strife, because we're brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." How many of you know what a jalopy is? All right, some of you know what a jalopy is. It's an old-timey word. It means an old rundown car. So if a person has a lot of concern and they have a lot of desire, they can take an old dilapidated jalopy and make it into a show car. I mean, if they really want to do that, they can do that. They can take something that's sort of run down and maybe reach the end of itself and then turn it back into a very valuable piece. If they have enough concern, if they have enough desire to do that. Going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and God talks about people that were having problems. They had issues, they had things they weren't agreeing on, and they were handling it out of enmity. They were handling it with passion and feeling and grinding axes and things like that. But here in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? Know not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers." So things have a way of escalating if we do not exercise wisdom and concern. Where there is concern and desire, people will stay with the issue. They will want to know everything about it, and they will want to be sure that they're acting with knowledge and understanding, and they will want to work it out for the greater good. Anything that you really have an interest in, that's what you want to do with it. If the concern and desire is not there, the issue then will become a reason for a person to change course and go in the direction they desire to go. And that's something to be noted. So I want to go back to the 13th chapter of Genesis again. In Genesis chapter 13. So they had an issue. There was some strife going on, not between themselves, but between their herdmen. And Abraham said, "We can solve this. We can just separate, keep our herds separated. We got plenty of room here. It's not a matter that can't be resolved." But in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes, beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Now keep in mind, that's where God said he wanted them to be. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So God had nothing to do with that choice. That was absolutely on Lot. Lot would never have left Abraham. he would never have left the land of Canaan if he had not wanted to go to Sodom. Now think about that. If he would said, that's the last place on earth I would want to go, I would never want to go there. He would never have left Abraham and Canaan to go there if he had not wanted to go there. So the issue just manifested what Lot really wanted. That's what it came down to. If Sodom had not really been where Lot wanted to go, and had he really wanted to walk with Abraham as he followed the Lord, Sodom maybe would have just been a temptation, but the temptation, God would have made a way of escape for him. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, God tells us that there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And so God is faithful, who won't allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but he will with the temptation make a way of escape. So that would have come to play. Lot could have escaped if it was just a temptation. And because the people were wicked and they were sinners exceedingly, and if Lot would have wanted not to go there, if he would have been tempted to go there, but he really knew it was wrong to go there, why, he could have escaped that. God would have made it possible. But he didn't want to. He didn't want to. So how do you define Lot's choice and where he was at? Going back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. In 1 John chapter 2 and there in verse 19, I think this verse describes Lot's choice very accurately. It says in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So Lot's decision was a manifestation of what he really wanted to do. And I think that Abraham realized that. And I think we have to be wise concerning this also, lest those who go out have an influence upon us in some way. And they can. They can have an influence upon us some way. So for Lot to choose another course besides what he originally embraced as being right with God, he had to first break in his own mind of being right with God. He had known and he had wanted to go at one point to be with Abram where God would lead him, but that changed. So what changed? He had to change inside him to want to no longer do what he had once chosen to do. Once Lot did that, there wasn't anything Abraham could say to him that would make any difference. It was his choice. And you don't find where Abraham ran after him. Abraham could have been apologetic. He could have offered to buy him a steak dinner. But none of that would have made any difference because Lot's problem was in his heart. That's what he wanted in his heart. And that's where his heart desired to be. It wasn't a matter of his stomach. It wasn't a matter of other factors. It was a heart situation. Nor was the problem the issue at hand. Because if it had just been the problem of the issue at hand, Abraham's suggestion would have solved that. But it was deeper than that. It was in his heart. So Lot's choice was not based on proving what God's will was, nor was it about making his spiritual calling and election sure. That's not what his choice was based on. His choice was based on he lifted up his eyes and he saw what was there materially for him. So that looked like a life of comfort and pleasure and personal satisfaction. And so therefore, that's what he made his choice on. I know Saturday night there was some bearing of people's hearts and past experience, so I'm going to bear one tonight. The first time that our children made it possible for us to go to Florida, and that was Clearwater. It was a beautiful place. And I can recall one of the things that they arranged for us to do was to go out on a boat ride and have dinner on the boat. And it was good. It was fun. And so we were standing there on the dock, and the warm sun, beautiful day up here. It had been wintry, and we had gone down to Florida, and oh, it was so beautiful. Standing there on the dock, and here's all these seabirds, you know, sitting on the post, and they're doing their chirping and carrying on. The warm, gentle breeze blowing. And I was thinking. That's unusual, but that's what I was doing. I was thinking. And I was thinking, boy, I'd like to live here. That's the thoughts came to mind. And then I started thinking, I wonder if there's a church down here that needs a pastor. Yeah, you can think that way. And wouldn't it be nice to just move here? Wouldn't that really be nice? But the very place that we were staying, it wasn't, I think, that year even, a hurricane came along and wiped it off the map. It was no longer. Well, you know, that wouldn't have been a good place to live then, would it? So for a spell, I saw in Florida what Lot saw in looking towards Sodom. And that was, man, you know, this is great. And, of course, all of that was carnal-mindedness, thinking in the flesh, thinking about how things would be in the flesh. But 2 Peter 1, 10-11 came to mind. It says, make your calling and your election sure. That was Ohio Faith Baptist Church. So rather than Abraham, Abraham could see everything Lot saw. Abraham wasn't having a vision problem to where he could not see what Lot saw. But like Moses, Abraham chose rather to follow the course that obedience to God's will and leadership would take him. Lot knew what he could get in Sodom's land: worldly prosperity, worldly comfort, and probably a lot of dreams that he would have about going there. But that's not what Abraham chose to go on. Going back to the 11th chapter of Hebrews again, as we look at what Abraham had in mind, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and there in verse 8, it says that look at that verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive. Going out was leave your country, leave your father and mother, and go to a place I'll show you. That's what going out was. It wasn't just moving to a different street in town. It was going to a different country, and there was no assurance that anything would work out for him other than the fact God said, you go, and I'll be with you. So Genesis chapter 12 talks to us about that, of how that Abraham left it all, and he completely gave himself over to whatever God would make possible for him at that point, to follow God's will. That's what he had in mind, obedience. It says that he obeyed. So he wanted to follow God's will. He wanted to be a dependent upon the I wills of God. God had told him, if you do this, I will this, I will this. So he wanted to become a dependent upon that. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 16, Christ pointed out that that's not always the case. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and become unfruitful. There is such a thing as aspiring to do the will of God, but lacking faith enough to wait on the I wills of God. When the trials and temptations and difficulties in life confront us. So we must not have our own limits. And I want to go back to Luke chapter 9. And Christ, of course, dealt with this. In Luke chapter 9, and there in verse 57, it says, "It came to pass that as he went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." So here it is. "Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." So I'm going to go wherever you go. Christ said, okay, if you go where I go, it may be some place where there's no home for you. There's none of these other things ready made for you. And then he said unto another, "Follow me," in verse 59. But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house." Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Usually when a individual falls out, their complaint will be that things were just not coming their way. In other words, "I tried it, but." Well, how about God didn't send it their way because he knew they would fall out? You know, that's, I had a person tell me one time he had quit the Lord's work, quit the church, and he said, "I don't think God loves me, because what he had been had his eye on wasn't happening." And so my reply was, "Well, the reason God hasn't done it is because he knew you would do what you're doing, and so he didn't want to do it." You know, if you know that somebody is a bad investment, you're not going to give them all your money and let them run with it. You're not going to do it. So God is not going to invest himself in a person whom he knows is going to turn away. He's not going to do that. He has, of course, quite a bit more wisdom than that. So the I wills of God come to pass for those who are given over to the will of God. I want to go to the book of Esther chapter 4 for a look at this. In the fourth chapter of the book of Esther, there was at that time a little bit of a problem for the people of God. And that is, there was a federal order, a federal decree, to have all of the Jews annihilated on a certain day. You know, the hatred of Jewish people, it didn't just begin with Hitler. It didn't just arise with the people who are yelling and screaming now. It goes all the way back to the fact that they're God's nation, that God had a purpose for that nation. So being identified with God's nation, Christ said, "You'll be hated of all nations for my namesake." So anything that God is a part of, and you're a part of it, that brings you into that realm of hatred without a cause, Christ said. So the order had gone out, such a day, all the Jews are to be killed. Well, Esther was a Jew. She was queen. And the whole situation was, there was a law that nobody could go in unto the king unless they were invited. And Esther said, "I'm not invited." Mordecai said, "You're going to have to go and petition the king for your people." She said, "I haven't been invited. For me to go would be a death sentence upon me." Well, Mordecai said in verse 14 of Esther 4, "If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. You know, we all need people to give us a better view on faith many times. And that's one of the things about studying God's Word. You can come and study God's Word and you see something you haven't seen before. God can, make that evident to you. So Mordecai was that spiritual edifier here. So Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer in verse 15. And in verse 16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. What do you find with Esther? She was wholly given over to do what she knew God would have her to do. If I perish, I perish. But if this will make a difference, I'm going to do it one way or the other. There is in weddings, I don't know if anybody's interested knows or not, but there is such a thing for better, for worse, for richer or poorer. And then there is this wedding eulogy, till death do us part. There's that part. And you know what? I have never seen a groom and a bride ever come to that point, till death do us part, and it scares them and they say, I don't think I want that. No. If you love somebody and you really care for somebody, the fact of giving your all does not scare you. You want to unite yourself. And so that's the way it is with God. You know, a lot of times people, that preacher is asking too much. He expects me to be in church. He expects me to do this. He expects me to do that. Well, God says, be faithful unto death. Now, does that scare you? You know, I heard someone say, well, this person said, I don't want to go down to Faith Baptist Church because they tell you how to live. Well, what's the church for? I mean, is it just there to tell you you've got a nice dress? You have a nice hat. So God's word is to be presented and people are to respond to it between them and God, not me, between them and God. So here is a person totally committed to this. She's totally given over to God's will. And of course, the story is beautiful. From there on out, you see one thing happening. You see another thing happening. And then finally, you see God's people have the upper hand. And they get the victory over their enemies. Abraham obeyed. And the Bible says he went out, not knowing whither he went. He had no idea where this would take him, how it was going to turn out. But he had assurance. And the assurance was that he believed that God's will was the cause for which his life was here on earth. And he didn't have any idea what was ahead of him, but he knew God had a purpose for him. That was his assurance, God's purpose. So his confidence and his trust was in following where God's will would take him. That's what he had in mind. And that God's promises would not fail him. There you have blessed assurance. I've got purpose, I've got reason, and I've got the God underwriting my life and what I'm going to do. Back in Hebrews chapter 10, I think there are some verses to add to what we've said. In verse 35 of Hebrews 10, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense or reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Christ is coming. And when he comes, the only thing that's going to matter is, did we follow him? So being of a state of mind, and this is something we want to caution a person against, whenever a person begins to question about whether they should stay on course with God's will or whether they should chart out their own course, take their life into their own hands, that's not a good place to be. If a person is, should I serve God? Should I stay with him or should I not? That's not a good place to be. You know, that's where they were in the third chapter of Malachi. What profit is it that we have served the Lord? So they were looking at it from that viewpoint. And of course, when we get to the point where we question whether God's will is good or not, that's when we allow the devil to rip our faith apart and just shred it and to sift us as wheat, leaving us with only the wood, hay, and the stubble that's spoken of in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Christ put it this way to his own, lovest thou me more than these? We'll not be blessed as faithful Abraham was if our heart is divided, if we're halting and not sure whether we want to serve God or not. And we would start looking like Lot did in the direction of Sodom. You know, Lot had a choice to make, and the Bible doesn't tell us how successful he was in Sodom, but the Bible does tell us he lost all of it. And when he was delivered out of Sodom, all he had on was a shirt on his back. He didn't take anything with him. He had his two daughters. His wife went part way and looked back against God's will, and she became a pillar of salt. And from that point on, you find Lot was a fearful man, just wanting to live in a cave somewhere, afraid of what might happen to him. May we bow our heads for prayer. Father, we know that there are winners and there are losers. And we know that we see that all throughout the scripture. And I pray that all of us here tonight would want to be a winner. We would not embrace the feelings and the attitudes that a Lot had. And that we would not have our eyes on what Lot did. But rather that we would want to obey you, even though we don't know how that it's going to, what course it'll take us on. But yet we have the assurance that anything that you would lead us in is the right thing for us to do. So I'm thankful for your interest in each and every one of us here tonight. And I'm thankful that we have a future in Christ. Jesus is coming again, and heaven will surely be worth it all. So bless the invitation, we pray, in Jesus' name.